Awesome. Well, grab a seat. I was too slow on saying that. How is everybody? Hey. On everybody, you need to stand up again. I'm serious. Stand up again. You need to turn to the person next to you and say "Genki desu ka?" And then say "Genki." And that means "How are you?" "I'm great." That's what it means. And now say "Kamisama san wa sugoi." Too hard? That means God is great. All right, you can grab a seat. Moshi moshi. You know that moshi moshi you only ever say on the phone. That's all right. He was on the phone to someone. Moshi, that's it. See, there you go. Now turn that off. All right, who's excited to be in church? Really? I'm excited to be in church. I haven't been here for a month. It's so good to be home, really. Honestly, so good to be home. I just have a really simple message today. Maybe you're expecting some deep revelation from Japan, the land of the rising sun, that I was going to come with and be like, well, this is the deep teaching that I learned. This is the huge revelation that I had when I was overseas. So I'm going to disappoint you if that's what you want. If you want something like that, then I don't know. That's right, you're in the wrong church. Because what I want to share is not about just having some deep theological or head knowledge, but it's about living our lives. And it's about having a real life lived for God, amen, which is what being a Christian is about. It's not about having some kind of deep understanding of theology, but it's about living for Jesus. And that's way more, yeah, thanks. That's way more important. Like, honestly, we can have all the head knowledge we want, and it is useless if we don't put it into practice. If we don't love people, if we don't show mercy, if we don't do the things that God's called us to do, then anything intellectual that we know is useless. So today, I just have a pretty simple message, but I think it's still good. I think it's going to be good. Do you think are you expecting it to be good? Good, good. Awesome. I want to talk about living for breakthrough. I honestly believe that we get to choose how we live our lives. That we have this choice when we get up every day, when we start to live, of how we are going to do it. And we can live two ways, I think. We can either live for survival or we can live for breakthrough. We can either barely scrape by and our faith in God is just enough to hold us through to the next day, or we can live in everything that God has for us, which is so huge, which is so amazing, which is enormous and honestly incredible. And we can have just the best life that anybody could ever have because we have the God who is I Am, the God that is all powerful, that created the universe, living inside of us. That is more power than you need just to survive. That is more than enough to scrape by every day. It is more than enough to live with breakthrough. Amen? And I think this is a key for us, each of us personally and as a church, that if we could understand living for breakthrough and we could start living in that instead of living in just this survival mode day to day, then we can see incredible things happen in our own lives, in our city, in our church. Amen? Are you with me with this? Genki, you say Genki back. That's all you need to do. It's really easy. It's like a question and an answer all in one. It's genius. Japanese efficiency right there. So how do we do that? How do we stop just living this day-to-day stuff and start living for breakthrough? Do you want to know? Awesome. Because this is how I want to live, and this is the church that I am a part of and that I want to be a part of. Amen? And it's the church that we are part of. Our church here, City Life Church, is a church living for breakthrough. So get on board. Matthew 25, there's this great parable, and I kind of had points for this message, and then I was reading this story again, and I'm always amazed by how there's like a story that you have heard maybe 1,000 times. Maybe not 1,000, I don't know. But like this parable, the parable of the talents, or as the TNIV says, the parable of the bags of gold. Sounds good. Like I've read this parable, and I've heard this parable so many times, but just when I was preparing this message, I got something new out of it. And how amazing is the Word of God that you can read something that you've read 1,000 times and something fresh comes out? How does He do that? Come on. So I'm just going to quickly just go through it. You can read it with me. It's in Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30, and I'm kind of going to pull some stuff out of that, so maybe just like, I don't know, leave your Bible there. It says, it's like a man going on a journey, and he calls his servants and entrusts his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Just on that, isn't it cool how God doesn't give us more responsibility than we can handle, but He knows our ability and He blesses us accordingly. And He says, I know what you're capable of, so I'm going to give it to you. So never feel that what you're doing, you're incapable of doing, because God's given it to you because He knows you're capable of it. Amen? He has given you that thing that you're doing, that job that you're doing, that whatever thing is in your life that you think maybe is too much for you is not too much, because God understands your ability and He's given it to you. So how good is that? So it says that he went on his journey. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came and said, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For those who have will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And as for those who do not have, even what they do have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Woo! Encouraging, isn't it? So good. I'm just waiting for the... It's funny, I've got quite used to bilingual services. And when somebody read this epic Bible passage in English, you would have to wait for the epic Japanese Bible passage. And just everything takes twice as much time, so they have like really short messages, which is cool. So, but it's just funny. So just imagine that you're hearing the Japanese version of that right now, and we'll move on. So what I got from this story is that there's 3 servants here. 2 of them live for breakthrough, and 1 doesn't. And there's this critical difference between them. Like how did they do that? How did 2 of them get it and see double what they were received, and 1 of them missed the boat and end up getting everything taken away from him? So how do we live in a way that has breakthrough rather than a way that has weeping and gnashing of teeth? Because that's not what we want. How do we learn from this parable and from what Jesus has said in terms of living for breakthrough? So I just want to share some points on that, and just a few things also that I've learned from Jesus Lifehouse, and hopefully that's encouraging, and hopefully it challenges you as well. Is that good? I'm just going to put out a word of warning. I'll probably say things like, in Tokyo, they do this a lot for the next little while, so just get used to it, just embrace it, and don't worry about it, and don't say to me, Andrew, you always say this stuff about that. It's not like, it's good, okay? Just trust me. It's just what it is. So number one, if you want to live for breakthrough, then you need vision. To live for breakthrough, you need to be able to see that breakthrough. See beyond just your circumstance and what is immediately in front of you to a bigger plan. Because without vision, you'll never see breakthrough. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. Where there's no vision, people just go crazy. That's what it says. We need to learn to live with the discipline needed to see breakthrough. Where we would say, I have a vision for my future. I have a vision for my church and for my life. And so I'm going to live out of that. I'm not going to live out of what's convenient or what's right in front of me or what circumstance dictates to my life. I'm not going to cast off restraint. I think that vision is a discipline thing sometimes. It's not always, here's this amazing fresh revelation from God because he fed me with it. But it's like, I know the vision God has for my life. I know what the word of God says about my life and about my plan. And so I am going to hold on to that when circumstances around me say, throw it all away and just go for it yourself. So we need vision. We need to learn to lift our eyes and see bigger pictures. Let God's vision become our vision. In this parable, the master has this vision. Yeah? And he entrusts his wealth to these guys. Obviously, he says, I know what these guys are capable of, so I'm going to entrust my wealth to them and see them break through, see them multiply it. And two of the servants understand the vision of the master, and one of them doesn't. He misses the point completely. You need to get a vision for your life. This is a big Jesus Lifehouse phrase. Get a vision. Just say that to yourself. Just like, get a vision for your work, for your relationships, for your life, for your ministry, for your family. Get a vision. Amen? When I was in Japan, like, I was there for the first two services of the Yokohama Jesus Lifehouse Church, which was so exciting because I was just surrounded by these guys that had so much vision for that city, so much vision for that service. And despite, like, the crazy timing, like, I think they had, like, 2.5 hours, maybe, total, to get into the building, set up, do a sound check, do a service, hang out, and pack up, and get everything back out of the building again, because that's Japan. You can't just rent a building for the night. You can rent it for 3 hours, and there's an old guy standing at the back watching his watch. Anyway, so they've got this stuff that's hard and everything like that, but they have this vision to see people in Yokohama get to know God and be saved. And it's so encouraging to be around people like that because that vision produces results. And when they hold on to that vision, it becomes like an exciting place to be. It becomes contagious. You get excited about what's happening. Even when you're running around setting up, lifting heavy gear, doing random jobs, like you're not doing anything glamorous, but you're excited because you captured the vision of the house. Amen? And we have an amazing church and we have an amazing vision for our city. And so it doesn't matter what your job is or what your task is in that. If you can get the vision, then you'll get excited about it. Because you see, like Stuart was saying in the offering message, that everybody needs to do it together in unity and that creates a bigger picture. Amen? So get a vision. Come on. If you want breakthrough, get a vision for it. That's simple. I don't think I heard anything complicated or mind-blowing the whole time I was away. They're not superhumans or something in Tokyo. It's simple stuff, so I'm just going to give you simple stuff. But I think if we can get that simple stuff in our lives and in our hearts, that's when it's effective. I could give you 100 points on something ridiculous, but it wouldn't mean anything to you. But if you take one simple thing and actually apply it to your life, you'll see breakthrough. Amen? Amen. It's not complicated at all. Come on. So number one, if you want to live for breakthrough, then you need to have a vision for it. If you don't have a vision, like, read God's promises about your life. The Bible is full of these letters from God to you saying, this is what I think of you. This is how I care about you. This is the plan I have for your life. This is the amazing thing. Read about these guys that had incredible breakthrough in their life because they got a hold of the vision of God. Guys that went from being like a fisherman or a random dude or like Paul who went from persecuting the church to building the church. Like, get a hold of that vision for your life, yeah? Get around other people that have vision. This is so important. Like, I feel like if I could have gone and been like, oh, I'm away from all my friends and family, and this is lame being on the other side of the world. But being surrounded by people with vision and excitement for what God's doing in their city is contagious. And so you get excited. So get excited. Get a vision. But number two, if you want to live for breakthrough, if you want to turn that vision into breakthrough, you need hard work. And there's a glamorous, exciting point. You need to work really hard. We can't do the minimum and expect the maximum return. We can't bury the talent in the ground and expect it to double. But if we give all we can, then we can expect breakthrough and God's blessing. These guys in the parable that did it, that got it, they went out. It says they went out at once and they put it to work. At once. They didn't sit around and worry and go, oh, well, you know, I'll get to that eventually. But, you know, I'm a bit tired right now. I just had a big day. And all these slackers that didn't come to our youth, leaders meeting last night. And they're like, oh, I've had a big week. And I'm like, I flew from Japan yesterday and I made it to the meeting. What's your excuse? Anyway, that's just a side note. But what I'm trying to get at is, we can't expect God's breakthrough if we don't do any work. But if we work, we can expect it. You can put in work, not thinking, I'm going to put in all this hard work and God's not going to do anything. But you can read the promise of God and say, if I work with all I can, if I seek God first and I give Him all my effort that I can, then I can expect His breakthrough, His blessing, His doubling. That these guys worked hard and they doubled the wealth that they were given. But when the master saw that, they were given so much more. They didn't work for that extra. Do you get that? Like, they worked to double, but then they were given even more for free. All they did was work that bit that they had. Sometimes I think we worry so much about, like, what we could do or what we should do or what is so big that we can't even get our head around doing. Whereas I think God sometimes says, well, use what you have and let me give you the rest. Use that bit that I've already given you, that talent that I've given you according to your ability. Use that and let me open up doors for you and bless you incredibly. Amen? It's not complicated. It just takes some hard work. Proverbs 24 has this really interesting thing. It's in 30 to 34. It says, I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds and the stone wall was in ruins. There you go. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. We just can't be afraid of working hard. Amen? I know, like, Mum was trying to make sure I was out of bed on time this morning because she wasn't convinced that I was going to get up or something. But we need to be people that will just get out of bed and we'll get to work, we'll get to church, we'll get to what we're committed to, and we'll just put in the hard yards, yeah? It's not like this amazing revelation. It's just like, if you work hard, you'll get results. Wow. First thing I noticed when I got to Japan was just how hard everybody works. And it just made me really think about my life and how I say, like, oh, I'm so busy or I'm so tired or whatever. When I'm living with guys, like, the guys I was living with, okay, so they worked basically two full-time jobs. Well, not two full-time jobs, but two jobs, because it's expensive to live in Japan. There were seven services a week. They had two or three life groups, plus two leaders' meetings every single week, plus outreach. And I'm like, oh, I'm tired. Come on. We have so much more capacity to work than we think we do sometimes. And we think, oh, it's too much for me. I can't do it. And it sounds crazy, but you see the fruit of that labor. Like, we see the fruit of guys saying, yeah, I've just worked all day, but I'm going to go out to a street corner and play guitar because we can reach people. And then when we get to the first Yokohama service, we have like 20 fresh people who have never been in a church service before walk in the doors because they made the effort to step out and say, yeah, I'm tired, but if I go and do outreach, I can see somebody saved. And it's not magic. It's not like this like mind-blowing principle. It's just like if I meet lots of people, somebody will come to church. If I invite 100 people to church, somebody will come. That makes sense. It's not a complicated thing. So I think we need to be people that, if we want to see breakthrough, are not afraid to do the work that's required to see that breakthrough. That are not afraid to sit in the bit where it's hard and where it's small, but that we'll just keep working. The first weekend in Yokohama, they had 111 people, I think, which was incredible. Like the first week of a church. And a lot of those people were from Tokyo Church coming to support it. So the next week they had about 50, which is insane. 50 people as soon as you start a church. But what I love is that they're not like, oh, that's lame, we got so many less people. But they're all like, man, this is such a solid start to a church. We have this strength already with 50 people ready to go. Like, and so they'll put in the work to make sure that every single one of those 50 people is discipled, is into a life group, is really living the way that they could and in everything that they can. And that just takes effort. It just takes work, okay? That's not a great, exciting point, but it's real. The in this parable, the guys, it says that they just... I'm going to read it. Here you go, verse 16. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work. That's the secret principle. Go at once and put it to work. Amen? So if we want to see breakthrough, we just need to work hard. You. Encouraging. Genki. Let's see what you say. Hey! I'm going to teach you some new Japanese words tonight, so make sure you come for that because it's going to be exciting. I'm going to teach some made-up Japanese words just for fun. One of the guys in Tokyo, he's a New Zealander, and his Japanese is really, really good. So he likes making up Japanese words. And a couple of his messages while I was there were just like, his whole message was based on this word in Japanese that he made up. It's great. So awesome. But there was a point to it. So anyway, the third thing I think we need to do if we want to live for breakthrough is we need to have the right attitude. This is so important, especially if you're working really hard. Like, say you've got your vision, and so you're working all out, like, giving everything you've got to do that, you need the right attitude or that'll just fall apart. If you're going to work with everything that you've got, you're going to get a bit tired. And so you need to choose the way you think. You need to choose your attitude. Yeah, amen? Towards yourself, towards the people around you, towards your church, towards God, towards the stuff that you're doing. Like you need to choose the attitude that you have towards that. Is your thinking geared towards growth or survival? Like, what's coming out in your thought life? Sometimes I see Facebook and people write the stupidest status updates ever. And I think it's because there's that thing at the top that says, like, what are you thinking now? And so people are like, well, Facebook asked me, so I'll just blurt it out. And it's just like, but no, what about if you choose how you're thinking now? What if I say, oh, maybe I'm feeling pretty rubbish, but how about I think, well, no, that's not the way I'm called to live. That's not the thinking. Like, we become slaves to our thinking, and that's crazy because you're thinking it. So don't. Did you know you can control your thinking? Did you know that? Like, you don't have to. Like, when you're feeling down or whatever, like, I'm not trying to say that that doesn't mean anything and that you won't have hard times, but that you can control your attitude. And it's not about being fake. It's about choosing the way you live. And that is so important. And if you want to see breakthrough in your life, you're not going to get it by having the same attitude, by having a crappitude. There's my made-up word. I think I'm allowed to say that in church. If you've got that, though, you're not going to see breakthrough happen, are you? It's that simple, really. It is not complicated. None of this is complicated. So I'm hoping you're getting it. Yeah? Are you with me? Do you get it? You don't have to be a slave to your thoughts. In the parable, there's this one guy whose thinking gets messed up. And he's like, oh, the master is a hard man. And I'm afraid of what he's going to do to me. And so I'm going to do nothing. That's where that thinking gets you. Like, instead of thinking, I'm going to put this to work like the other two, and I'm going to see breakthrough and blessing, and I'm going to bless the master because of what he's entrusted to me, because of the incredible gifts that he's given me, and because of the faith he showed in me to give me those gifts. Because the master, like, that's a big step. Like, that's a big thing to say, here's a few guys, I'm going to entrust my wealth with them. So the master has confidence in you. More confidence than you have in yourself, maybe sometimes. And we need to choose the way the attitude that we have towards that, yeah? If you can't tackle life without the right attitude, you won't see breakthrough. You need to choose it. You need to challenge yourself immediately when you start to think. This is something that I've really been learning. I'll be real with you. Is not always an easy thing to do, but something that God's been challenging me on. To say, how am I thinking? Like, what's my thought life like right now? Like, what's the thing that's going on in my head? What am I letting myself think about? Because that has power. What you let yourself think about has power over you. And so instead of letting random thoughts that I don't want have power in my life, I want God-honoring thoughts to have power in my life. I want God's plan and purpose to have power in my life. And so that's what I choose to think on. Like, it's not always easy, but it's not complicated. And, yeah, when you... Like, but another thing that was a really big deal in Japan was challenging and rebuking, something that everybody in the youth team has to look forward to. I'm joking. But what I found interesting was that there's a team of guys. They're seeing incredible breakthrough. They're seeing new people saved every single week. They just can't afford people with bad attitudes slowing that down. Like, it's more valuable to see people saved than to mollycoddle somebody with a bad attitude. It's just detrimental to everybody. And so they don't put up with it. And we're not going to put up with it. Like, we have a mission. We have a vision. We are working hard for a vision, and we're not going to let a bad attitude stop us. Amen? So choose the way you think. In 1 Samuel 30, there's this story, and the Amalekites have gone and they've taken captive everybody in this, like all of David's army's people and their kids and their wives and all this sort of stuff, and they've killed, like, oh, they've burned the city down and all this stuff. And so they get there, and it says that they wept aloud, like David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. So they're messed up, like they're in a really bad way. But it says in verse 6, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Or in another translation says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I'm struck by that he is in this terrible situation. He has this grieving time. But then he says, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. It's not like I'm going to sit there and wait for God to encourage me. He says, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And it is so easy for us, because we have this whole Bible of stuff that God has said about the attitude that we can have and the way that we are called to live and the thoughts that we can have and the thoughts that he has for us. And so we can encourage ourselves. Yes. Preach yourself happy. Like, it's an old saying, but like, we can do it. You can choose. I think sometimes we don't think we've got the power to choose. And so we live these lives of just survival because we don't think that we're in control. But really, you have a choice, and there's freedom in that revelation. If you can understand that you have a choice to how you feel, how you think, the people that you surround yourself with, the stuff that you do, how hard you work, the vision that you have, when you realize that you can decide that, you can have breakthrough. Amen? So don't say, oh, that's a good message, Andrew, but you don't know the situation in my life. You don't know the circumstance, because it's not about the circumstance. It's not about the stuff outside of you. It's about the stuff in your head and in your heart that you can control, that you have power over. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you do not have to be a slave to that. That's the reality. That's the truth. Get it into your heart. We need to make a choice about how we live. Because the reality is, there is breakthrough on offer for us. God wants breakthrough for you. He is not an angry God waiting for you to stuff up. He is a loving God who wants the very best, who has given you incredible gifts according to your ability to see you double them, to see you grow, and then he wants to bless your life. That's the reality of the God we serve. So we have a choice how we respond to that. Amen. We have a choice to say, despite the circumstances around me, I'm going to control my attitude, my thinking. I'm going to work hard even when it seems like it's not worth it, because it always is worth it. So many times where I was like, oh, street band's not working tonight. Like, people aren't stopping or chatting, or like, it's hard work, or my hands are really sore from hitting a wooden box for 2 hours. Like, there's this percussion thing called a cajon, and it's like a little drum, and a Latin American thing, and they use it for street band because it's loud, but it's basically a wooden box that you whack, and so your hands, like, start bleeding after a while. Well, not mine, but a guy did start bleeding once using it, I think. Anyway, so you can either choose to say, well, this sucks, and I'm really sore, and I've had a massive day, and I'm here. But if you make that choice to leave, then you miss out. And I think about the guys, there's a Chinese guy that I met called Haku. Well, Haku, I don't actually know what his Chinese name, but Haku was the Japanese pronunciation of his Chinese name, because they have the same writing. And I just think, well, if we decided that street band was too much work that night, we wouldn't have met him, and then he wouldn't have come to church that week and be blown away by it. And he was blown away. He was like, man, these people are amazing, and they have this thing in their life that I want. And it's, and to think that if we'd had a bad attitude and we hadn't been prepared to do the work, he would have just walked down the street of Shibuya and not stopped to hear a band. Isn't that a challenge? Like, come on, that's what it's about. So that's all I've got tonight. Today. This morning. I'm on Japan time. Not really. It's only an hour different. So I'm just gonna pray. Maybe if everyone can just stand with me. I just want to pray with you this morning. If you want that breakthrough in your life, and maybe you're feeling like it's too hard or you can't see it, the promise is that God wants that for your life, that God wants you to break through, that he wants to bless you, and that you can choose the way you think and the way you live. So if you want like God's help, because God wants to give that help to you with that, and you want his power in your life to do that, then I just want to pray with you. So maybe you just raise your hand with me and we can just pray through that. If you just want breakthrough in your life, just for anything, I don't know what it's for, maybe circumstance or work or family or whatever it is, I don't know, but you want breakthrough in something, then let's just give that to God, amen, and and see him do something incredible. Thank you, God. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for everybody here this morning, and for everybody with their hearts open and their hands raised, Lord, that you would just bring breakthrough in your life. In Jesus' name, God, in the power of what Jesus did on the cross, God, we declare the breakthrough that you have promised for us, God, that we don't have to be slaves to circumstance anymore, God, so we don't have to be slaves to our thinking, but that we can make that choice. And God, I pray that you would just put that in our hearts as something real and powerful, and God, that you would move in our lives, and God, we would see the breakthrough that we have never seen before. God, we would see the double multiplication blessing that you have set out for us. And God, I pray that you would just challenge us to look at our thinking and to how we work and to the vision that we have for our lives, God. And you just fill us with your mercy and your grace, Lord, because that's what you want. And you want blessing, and you've given us so much, God, but you haven't given us more than we're capable of. So we thank you, Lord. Amen. Before we stop, I want to give an opportunity to maybe you don't know God at all. Or you have had this relationship with God, but you don't think you do anymore. Just to give yourself to him, and just to ask for a relationship with God again. And it's not a complicated thing. It's the reality is that the biggest breakthrough we've ever had is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, so that we could live life to the full, and that we could have eternity in heaven with God. And that's what the Christian faith is all about. And so if you want to respond to God this morning, if you want to make that decision, then I just ask you just to raise your hand and just say, yeah, God, I'd like you to come into my life today. I'd like you to just be real in my heart. Thanks. That's awesome. Anyone else? You want to say, yep, I want God in my life. Awesome. God, thank you for the person that's raised their hand, God, and for others whose hearts you're touching, God. Thank you for your love, your forgiveness, and your grace. God, we thank you that Jesus died on the cross for our sin so that we wouldn't have to have it anymore, God, that we could be free of that burden. We could have a relationship with you, and we could live for eternity in heaven. And so, God, pray that you would come into our lives today, Lord, be fresh and real to us. God, that you would wash us clean, and that you would start relationship with us. Amen. All right, just before we finish, just want to pray together, just real quick, just to confirm that. If you raised your hand, then everyone's going to pray this together. And if you didn't, but you kind of wanted to, we're just going to pray. So if everyone just say, like, repeat after me, I guess. Say, dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I will follow you. Amen. It's that simple.